The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. The page number is 310 in the New Testament. It is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Allow me to read the words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Amen. Abraham's hometown was Ur of the Chaldeans, located in southern Iraq, northwest of the Persian Gulf. He had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. However, the youngest brother, Haran, died in their homeland. More precisely, Haran died in the presence of his father, Terah. Terah probably made every effort to save his youngest son, but he could not protect him from death. Afterward, Terah took the remaining family members and set out for Canaan, over 1,600 kilometers away. However, for some reason, they settled in Haran, which was about halfway between Ur and Canaan. Based on Joshua later telling the Israelites that Terah worshipped other gods in the Haran. It is sometimes said that Terah made and sold idols there. Terah died in Haran at the age of 205. Despite this, Abraham was not thinking of leaving Haran. It seems that Abraham did not want to abandon what his father had established. It was at this time that God spoke to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." For Abraham, his country, relatives, and father's household represented everything he had known and relied on up to that point. They encompassed his current possessions, his comforts, and what he considered the best aspects of his life. However, this was not a life of eternity and true blessing, but rather a comfortable, worldly life. God desired for Abraham not to settle for a mundane life, but to live a life of faith. Therefore, he said, "Go to the land I will show you." If it were a land that had already been shown, or a land being shown at the moment, there would be no need to rely on faith in God. One could simply check whether the land was good or not. However, the land God promised to show was not immediately visible. Therefore, Abram had to trust God completely and obey his guidance to take the step toward that unknown land and eventually reach it. God desired for Abraham to live as a true person of blessing too. Therefore, if Abraham obeyed God's word, God promised to accomplish seven things for him. He would make Abraham into a great nation, bless him, Make his name great, make him a blessing. Bless those who bless him, curse those who curse him, and bless all peoples on earth through him. This promise was not easy to believe. When Abraham was called, he had no children. He was already 75 years old, and his wife Sarah was 65, making it biologically unlikely for them to have children. Talking about a great nation in such circumstances might have seemed like God was mocking Abraham. Moreover, how many people knew Abraham's name at the time? Probably only those from his hometown. The idea that Abraham's name would be great and that he would become a channel of blessing was unimaginable. Nevertheless, Abraham obeyed God's word and left Haran. Today's passage also speaks of God's blessing for us. Even though the Apostle Paul was in prison, he began his letter to the Ephesian church with the words, "Praise be," because his heart was filled with overwhelming joy. God calls us saints, that is, set apart people, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Not only does he give us grace as the starting point of our faith life, but he also gives us peace as the end point of our faith life. How can we not praise God for this? One of the best ways to check our current state of faith, therefore, is to see if we have praise and gratitude in our hearts. Praise and gratitude are not just about singing songs to God or expressing certain sentiments. They are about confessing from the heart that God's work and guidance are present in every part of our lives. The Apostle Paul explains the specific reason why we should praise God. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We should praise God because He is the one who blesses us. Paul describes the spiritual blessings that God gives us in two ways. First is the blessing in Christ. All blessings and essential blessings are in Christ. This means that outside of Christ, no blessings can be enjoyed. All the blessings that we Christians enjoy come through Christ. There are general blessings and special blessings in the grace that God bestows upon us. General blessings are given to all people, whether they're Christians or not. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. General blessings and grace are given equally to every person. God does not make someone's life a desert by shining sunlight on them all year round. Nor does He make someone's life a darkness by never letting sunlight shine upon them. Similarly, God does not send just the right amount of rain to those he is pleased with to allow them to live, while withholding rain from those he finds annoying, making it impossible for them to survive. However, special blessings or grace are given only to those who are in Christ and can only be enjoyed by those who are in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is said that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. This means that everything we desire is there. Let's also read verses 6 to 10. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Since you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, you are to live in Him. If we are outside of Christ, our lives and faith become truly empty. Borrowing from Ecclesiastes, we naturally confess, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The theology of the Apostle Paul is often referred to as theology in Christ. In Korea alone, there are over hundreds of theological dissertations related to in Christ. This signifies its importance and the abundance of material that can be discussed. Among the apostles sent by Jesus, Peter and Paul are the most prominent. By general standards, the two differ significantly. Peter was a fisherman from Galilee, while Paul was a Pharisee. A Pharisee in today's terms would be equivalent to a seminary professor and a church pastor combined. There was also a significant difference in their educational backgrounds. After the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost, the apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit, went out to preach the gospel, and people from various countries heard them in their own languages. Later, Peter and John preached to the religious leaders, including the high priest, who were left speechless. The religious leaders recognized them as unschooled, ordinary men. This means men who had not attended school. In contrast, Paul was educated by Gamaliel, who was considered the greatest scholar of the time. If we were compared to today's standards, Peter would have the equivalent of an elementary or secondary school education, while Paul would have a master's or a doctoral degree. Additionally, Peter was quick in speech and action, while Paul was meticulous and goal-oriented. This is why Paul accomplished much more in his ministry, as we know from the Bible. Most of the churches mentioned in the New Testament were founded by Paul, and half of the New Testament letters were written by him. From their roles alone, one might expect Paul to receive greater recognition than Peter. Peter conducted itinerant ministry with his wife and was welcomed by many believers. On the other hand, Paul traveled with his fellow workers on missionary journeys, making tents to support himself while taking time to preach the gospel. Today, professionals who spread the gospel through their work and self-supporting missionaries who fund their own ministry without external support are called tent makers, a term derived from Paul's ministry. Despite this, Paul was not well recognized as an apostle. Even in the churches he founded, he sometimes failed to gain trust. The reason was a significant handicap. Paul had not been a disciple of Jesus while he was alive. Unlike Peter and the other disciples, who were called by Jesus and spent 3 years learning about the kingdom of God and the gospel, Paul's apostleship was questioned because it was based on a single revelation. If you asked me, "Pastor, which seminary did you study at?" And I replied, "I didn't study theology. I was so disgusted with Christians that I was planning to immigrate abroad. But Jesus came to me and ordained me as a pastor." How would you respond? You would likely say, "Pastor," or "Mr. Jung Hanjo, we don't take issue with you, but it would be best for you to enroll in seminary, study, and then receive ordination. Otherwise, it might be better to find another occupation." Therefore, the Apostle Paul always used a specific phrase when writing his letters: "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." This can be seen as Paul's response to those who continually questioned his apostleship. It means, "I became an apostle not on my own will, but the will of God." Reflecting on this part makes my heart swell with emotion. To me, it feels like this: yes, I am truly unqualified to be an apostle. I did not originally believe in Jesus as the Christ, nor did I receive 3 years of theological training from him like the other disciples. In fact, I never even saw Jesus during his lifetime. Instead, I believe that capturing and imprisoning those who believed and followed Jesus was doing God's work. When Jesus was alive, there were many disciples who followed him closely. Why he chose me, someone like me, I do not understand. If it weren't for God's will, I would not have become an apostle. On my way to Damascus to capture Christians and bring them to Jerusalem, the resurrected Jesus came to me and said he would use me as his instrument. That calling was so clear that I have traveled to many places serving the Lord and the people he entrusted to me. Although Paul was clearly called by God, people did not recognize him. This shows that our prejudices and biases can lead to misjudging and condemning others. Saying, that person is absolutely not suitable might mean we are placing ourselves in God's position. Paul was rejected by the Jews as someone who had abandoned the law, and he was not welcomed by the disciples of Jesus because he was not from the same background. However, because Paul was not recognized or welcomed, he struggled throughout his life to stand rightly before God. Additionally, because he was not recognized, he could become the apostle to the Gentiles. Not being accepted allowed him to embrace Gentiles, women, those without the law, and those with weak faith. Because of his own weaknesses, Paul could remain in Christ, enjoying the blessings found in Christ, and even 2,000 years later, he stands before us as a great figure of faith. We too enjoy the same blessings if we are in Christ, but if we drift in and out of Christ, we will also drift in and out of God's blessings. In Boryeong, Chungcheongnam-do, there is a Catholic martyrdom site called Galmaemot. It is where a French bishop, Saint Marie-Nicolas Antoine d'Avly, and four others were beheaded during the persecution of 1866. His motto is inscribed on the wall of the outdoor cathedral there. That is, Qui a Jésus a tout. He who has Jesus has everything. Indeed, in Jesus Christ, we have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and having him means having everything. The first blessing God gives us was the blessing in Christ. And the second spiritual blessing that God gives us is blessing in the heavenly realms. In the Old Testament, God spoke of blessings in visible terms, such as having many descendants or increasing livestock and possessions. When Isaac lived in Hebron, a famine occurred. Following God's guidance, he moved southwest to Gerar in Philistine territory. He farmed there, and the results were as follows. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 15. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Isaac harvested 100-fold from his crops, while ordinary farmers typically reap only 20 to 30 times what they sow. It wasn't because he used a super seed or had a unique farming method unknown to others. Although Isaac wasn't born or raised in Gerar, his sheep and cattle bore 7 or 8 offspring each time, or at least 5 or 6, whereas other households' livestock only produced 1 or 2 offspring. Seeing this, neither Isaac nor the people of Gerar could explain it any other way than to say, God has blessed him. However, Jesus spoke of blessings in this way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus spoke of blessings not as worldly and material, but as spiritual and eternal. Just as the Old Testament spoke of blessings in material terms, and the New Testament speaks of them in spiritual terms, our life of faith gradually shifts from focusing on material and visible things to spiritual and invisible eternal things. Many Christians confess that when they first believed in Jesus, their prayers were answered immediately. They experienced healing from illness right after praying, and when they had trouble sleeping, they would pray and fall into a deep sleep that someone would have to wake them from. Problems that seemed insurmountable would be resolved the same day or the next after praying. However, as years go by, they might start to wonder if God is still listening to their prayers or even aware of them. Prayers for healing from illness seem unanswered. Sleepless nights continue despite prayers, and urgent matters remain unresolved. These occurrences do not mean that God does not know us or is uninterested in our lives. It is because God is shifting our focus from earthly things to heavenly things. As we face persistent illnesses, sleepless nights, and unchanged circumstances, we clearly see where our focus should be. Moreover, we find our faith, character, and life deepening and broadening. Although we are in this world, as Christians, we ultimately belong to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Our inheritance, which does not perish, spoil, or fade, is kept in heaven. Thus, we are recipients of heavenly blessings. God told Abraham that if he went to the land, he would show him. He would make him into a great nation, make his name great, and make him a blessing. While Abraham was alive, he did not become a great nation, nor did his name become great. The blessings he received were not earthly blessings, but spiritual ones. After he took his last breath on this earth and went to God's kingdom, countless Christians on this earth have regarded Abraham as the father of faith. Thus, he became a great nation. His name has indeed become great. The New Testament begins with Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Not only Christianity, but Judaism and even Islam regard Abraham as their ancestor. How many names in the world can be compared to his? When Abraham regarded his blessings not as material and worldly, but as spiritual and heavenly, he became a true person of blessing and a channel of blessing. There are several versions of the story about a pastor going to God's kingdom. In one version, when a deacon arrived in heaven, Jesus greeted him while seated on the throne. When an elder arrived, Jesus stood up to greet him. But when the pastor arrived, Jesus ran down barefoot from the throne to greet him. When the deacon pouted and said, "Is there discrimination here too?" Jesus replied, "I'm just so happy because it's been 3 years since the pastor came to God's kingdom." Another story goes like this. A deacon who had faithfully served the Lord all his life arrived in heaven to find it like a Chinese restaurant. The Lord ordered him 짜장면 as a reward for his service on earth. The deacon felt upset and said to Jesus, "I served so diligently all my life, and all I get is 짜장면, not even a fancy dish." The Lord then said, "Look at the kitchen." There, the deacon saw an elder from his church cooking. A moment later, someone came in saying, "I'm back from the delivery," and it turned out to be the pastor from his church. "However, I would be happy with delivering 짜장면 if it were in God's kingdom, being with the Lord who saved me, and because the Lord assigned me that task." God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. He has not promised to give them. He has already given them. These blessings are not just for those who have read the Bible 100 times, those who pray for long hours, or those with specific positions or roles, but for all of us. If we still feel lacking, it may be because we are seeking blessings outside of Christ or looking for worldly, visible blessings instead of the heavenly blessings. May we open our window to the God and see how abundant the blessings that God has already given us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at the beginning of the new year, we often wish each other many blessings. We also desire to receive and enjoy these blessings. However, we confess that the blessings we seek are often those that are visible and tangible, things that appear good from a worldly perspective. We thank you for today's message, which reminds us of the blessings you desire to give us, blessings that you have already bestowed upon us. Help us to remember that all the blessings you have given us are in Christ. Let us not seek blessings outside of Christ, and let us remember that anything outside of Christ, no matter how great and good it may seem, is not from you. Also, help us to remember that the blessings you give us are heavenly. Even though earthly things may seem to bring temporary comfort and superiority over others, help us to understand that they are finite. Let us all truly accept that we have received heavenly blessings in Christ. so that we can live as true people of blessing and as channels of blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.